Holidays are also for the curious. 702 Summer.
Now, Woolworths has come under fire after Shannon McCallan, a South African businesswoman, accused them of plagiarizing her baby carrier design. According to Shannon, she says, and I quote, that the carrier was copied down to the stitches and buckles. Scanning through my Twitter feed today, interestingly enough, some stronger comments came around the fact that because they thought that perhaps the product was not patented, it was all fair game. Now, we live in a world where entrepreneurship is important, and when you think about being an entrepreneur and creating products, your ideas are everything. So how do we protect our ideas? And most importantly, at what point is something defined as being plagiarized or stolen, especially considering the fact that for the most part, there's nothing new under the sun? To help us get into the whole idea with regards to patenting and how it is that it works, Dr. Owen Dean, who's an intellectual property law consultant for Spoor & Fisher. Dr. Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Now, Dr. Dean, is it ethical to take a product, change a section of it, and sell it as an entirely new product? What are the checks and balances where this is concerned?
Well, you use the term ethical, and one has to distinguish between what is ethical and what is legal or unlawful. Mm. Now, arguably, to take someone else's creation and just copy it holus bolus is unethical. Mm. But whether it is unlawful depends on various circumstances. It's not automatically unlawful.
Mm. What makes it not so let me ask, what are the checks and balances? If you have an idea and you see that somebody, it's so similar to what you've done, how do you check and balance and prove that you own the idea?
Well, the departure point is that there is a right to copy.
Okay.
One can freely copy anything unless there is a prohibition against the copying. Our prohibitions come about through intellectual property law, and more particularly registration as a patent or as a design or as a trademark or relying on copyright. Mm. But in the absence of protection being available under intellectual property law, there is nothing to prevent you from copying anything else.
So in essence, if you have put something out there and you've not patented it, anybody can just pretty much run with the idea?
That is so, although, you know, patenting is only one form of intellectual property protection.
Okay.
And in order to patent, you certainly do have to register. The same applies to a design for an article. But in the case of copyright, for instance, your copyright exists automatically. You don't have to register anything. So there may be circumstances where you can argue that without having registered anything, what is being done amounts to copyright infringement. Whether that applies in this particular case with Woolworths is a different matter, and one would have to look at the facts very closely. But the name of the game is, and the moral of the story is, that if you want to be sure that you are not going to be copied by anybody, you should actually take the appropriate steps under intellectual property law to ensure that you're going to be protected. And that means that in most instances, you should file a patent application or a design application or possibly a trademark application.
Mm. Now, Professor, for me, I kind of imagine, because I don't, you know, I've not created anything, so I've not patented anything. But the cost of it, because when it comes to capital with small businesses and individuals, the access to capital and funds is always a big issue. So what is the cost in the process of it? Because it seems like as though it's really expensive, I stand to be corrected, or it also seems that it could be really tedious. But what are those steps?
Well, certainly registering a patent or a design and also a trademark can be very expensive. But I referred earlier to copyright, which exists automatically. So you don't have to incur any expenses at all in order to obtain copyright protection. The mere creation of a work, be it something that is written or something which is in the form of a drawing or a design, gives you the right to prevent that work from being copied.
Mm.
Now, in this, so copyright is actually a very user-friendly, in a way, area of the law to rely on, because it exists automatically, it doesn't cost you anything, and you don't have to take any formal steps. Now, it may well be that in the present instance involving Woolworths, that the lady in question can rely on copyright, in which case she she can bring a claim against Woolworths at virtually no cost at all, other than if it goes to litigation, of course, then there will be litigation costs involved.
Sorry, Professor, I'm slightly confused. If you could help me clarify. So you said with regards to copyright protection, you don't have to take any formal steps. So yeah. Is it just, if you could just break that down, how does that, what does that mean exactly?
Well, if you make a drawing, for instance, the design of a carrier for children, the mere, once you have put pen to paper and you have a drawing of that article, you have copyright in that drawing. So you it exists automatically. As I said, you don't have to register anything. There are no formal steps that you have to take. The mere production of the drawing gives you the copyright in that drawing.
And I guess the biggest case situation in that the biggest case in that situation would be that it would just have you'd have to prove that you had yours out first, correct? Which is probably the challenge.
Not necessarily first, because copyright doesn't require that what you do is new or novel.
Okay.
It simply requires that it is your own work. But what you do have to show is that not only is it your own work, but that the other party, in this instance Woolworths, has actually copied what you have produced, that they haven't arrived at it independently.
Okay. And now, if you perhaps suspect that your idea has been plagiarized, how do you go about fighting this case? What are the steps in a South African context?
Perhaps I'm being overly technical, but plagiarize is not actually a legal term.
Okay.
Plagiarize is an ethical term.
Okay.
You don't have a right to prevent plagiarism. What you do have a right to do is prevent infringement of your intellectual property right.
Okay.
So, but coming back to copyright, the best thing to do would be for the lady to go and see an intellectual property lawyer, show the lawyer the drawings, and if she's made a three-dimensional article from the drawing, which I imagine is the case, to then compare that with what Woolworths is doing. And then the lawyer can advise whether there is a basis for making a copyright infringement claim.
Okay. Professor, messages coming through, one of them asking, hi, if your idea is unique and you post it on Facebook as a form to keep records of the date and the first ownership of the product, can that work against people who want to steal my idea later? That's from Prince in Soweto.
Well, it could be an aid. It could be helpful because... supposing this lady says, look, I made my drawing on the 15th of December 2018, and Woolworths comes along and says, well, that's strange because we actually made our design on the 15th of December. In other words, our design, our work came before yours, so we couldn't possibly have copied it. It then becomes a question of proving exactly when your own work was made. And if that is recorded somewhere, that obviously helps that process.
In case you just joined us, we're having a conversation with Professor Owen Dean, talking a bit about intellectual property law. He's a consultant at Spur and Fisher, and because we live in a country where entrepreneurship is so important with regards to pushing the economy forward and making sure that people do actually get work and get jobs, this whole idea around protecting your ideas is something that is very important. So if you want to ask any questions, you can call, you can send us a WhatsApp message. Now, Professor, just another thing. Is there anything that you can't patent or trademark or copyright? Because say, for example, if you know, so a lot of fabrics have become really popular, you know, and so some people have taken to I believe it's trademarking those fabrics. Is that something that you can or can't do? When is something public domain and when is it not?
Well, it depends what area of the law you're talking about, because different considerations apply. A patent, for instance, protects an invention. And in order to claim the rights in an invention, you must be the originator of that invention. So if you've and moreover, you must file your application as soon as you've come up with the idea and before you commercialize the product in any way. So that's as far as a patent is concerned. You have to work very quickly and get your stake in the ground, as it were, before you even start commercializing the product. The same applies to a design. If you come up with a new design for the appearance of an article, it also has to be new and inventive, and so consequently you have to file your application when it's still secret. In the case of copyright, it doesn't matter. As long as you can show when you made your work and you can show that someone else has copied it, you basically have a right to claim.
Okay. Another message coming through asking, is it possible to patent an app? If so, how does one go about doing that?
Well, patents really are concerned with inventions, sort of new types of articles and new pieces of equipment, that sort of thing. You can't patent ideas, and you can't patent concepts, and certainly you can't patent ways of doing things. So it's quite difficult to fit an app into the framework of what can be patented. If you're wanting to get rights in an app, your better approach is to look to copyright law rather than patent law.
Okay.
It's important to understand the distinctions between copyright, designs, patents, trademarks, because they are different animals and they have different considerations which apply to them. And unfortunately, the public tends to regard them all as being synonymous, that a patent and a copyright and a trademark and so forth are all the same thing. Well, they're not. They're each very specific forms of protection, and each have their own little quaint foibles which have to be dealt with.
And then another question saying, how do I protect ICT software? Is this possible? That coming through from David.
Well, software again, some people try and protect software by means of patents, but it's not clear whether any patents in South Africa for software are valid or not. But you can protect software by way of copyright, which is the better route to go.
And now, do you think that there is enough, you know, education in South Africa in general? Are we doing enough to educate people when it comes to patenting versus copywriting, you know, or where can people get more information about this? Because there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding.
Yeah, there is a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and ignorance about this subject matter. And I started a chair of intellectual property law at Stellenbosch University, and one of the objectives of the chair was to try and disseminate knowledge to the public, or basic knowledge to the public, on matters relating to intellectual property. We started a blog, which is freely accessible to the public at large. Various books have been written with a view to giving basic instruction as to what intellectual property is all about. And so anybody who's interested can try and get hold of some of these books. But to answer your question briefly, there is a lot of ignorance, and I don't think enough is being done to educate the public.
And Professor, could you share that blog, with us so that we are able to access it, please?
Well, if you Google IPSTELL, that is IPSTELL, IPSTELL, you'll come out at the Stellenbosch University blog.
Okay. And then lots of questions coming through. One of them saying, can I copyright a design structure by hitting it stamped at a local police station for purposes of when I designed it?
Well, it comes back to what I said earlier, namely that for copyright, all you have to do is show that it is your own work and that you made it at a particular time. There are many ways of doing that. Putting it up outside the police station would be one of those ways, but it's not essential. As long as you can show somehow on what date you made your work, then you're halfway there.
Okay, and then with regards to the film industry and TV ideas and everything, would these laws work a little bit different?
No, the same principle applies. I mean, the film industry and the record industry and the entertainment industry generally work almost exclusively with copyright. Patents and designs and things don't normally come into the picture as far as those sorts of industries are concerned. So those industries have the advantage that the protection which is available for all their various works or productions exists automatically.
Mm. And then finally, Professor Dean, what percentage of an idea or design has to be changed in order for the person who's now quote-unquote copied what you're doing to be able to almost perhaps get away with it? So say, for example, with regards to the TV industry, a lot of people would talk about how they would send ideas through to different networks and so forth, and then they would see their idea come on the channel, but there was like a slight change, which meant that they were not able to fight for their copyright anymore. So what's the percentage, where a change, where a change occurs so that it now becomes a new idea or a new design?
There is no hard and fast rule. Mm. What the Copyright Act talks about is reproducing a substantial part of a work. Mm. Previous and earlier work. Mm. Now, what in any given situation is a substantial part is very difficult to say in advance. One really has to look at what the original work looks like and what the copy looks like, and then make a value judgment as to whether it's too close or not. Mm. But you can't get away from copyright infringement by simply making cosmetic changes here and there.
Mm.
If you want to produce a similar work, what you have to do is really, you can get the basic inspiration of the original work, the first work, but then you have to, as it were, throw it away and start from scratch and do your own work, which might be inspired by the other work, but which you don't actually, where you don't actually copy anything. Mm-hmm. The way the courts have put it is you can't sit with the other work at your elbow when you are producing your second work.
Mm. And Professor, from your knowledge, are there any institutions or organizations that if you're somebody who your idea has been infringed upon, perhaps doesn't have the money to go through litigation or that sort of thing, are there any of those sort of organizations that you know of that you can highlight so that the average person who perhaps can't afford can maybe reach out to them for assistance?
Well, there is a specialized profession which works in the field of intellectual property. There are a number of firms around the country, mostly in Pretoria and Johannesburg. Mm. And they all belong to an organization called the South African Institute of Intellectual Property Law.
Mm.
And it's like a law society in a way. There are many of the firms, individual firms, have programs in which they will give initial consultations and sort of preparatory work to members of the public at no cost.
Mm.
And the institute as such tries to encourage this. So if there's anyone who feels that they need information or that they think they might have a case, I can suggest that they either contact one of the specialist firms,
mm-hmm.
or alternatively contact the South African Institute of Intellectual Property Law and put the issue to them, and they will possibly give their own advice, but more likely they will refer the person to a firm which they know will be willing to give some sort of pro amico assistance.
Thank you very much, Professor Dean, who's an intellectual property law consultant at Spoor and Fisher. Again, if you Google IPSTELL, that's IPSTELL, you can find out a bit more about, patenting, copywriting, and all of that, so you can protect your ideas.